Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. Roma, they earn a 1-1 draw over Milan at San Siro before getting into the match, breaking everything down. Thank you, all of our patrons. If you would like to join, you know where, patreon.com/RomaPress. Get early access to the episodes, other things as well. And of course, at IS Roma Press on social media, including YouTube, for the video version of the podcast. And again, thank you to everyone since we've been doing this. It's been just a little over a year now since we've done the video version. The response and the support we received, we are deeply, deeply, deeply appreciative of it. So thank you to everyone. Well, that was, should I say bittersweet? That's not probably the correct word to use for tonight. I mean, it's a draw at San Siro.
It was perfectly in line with Roma this season. Build up our expectations, show good things, put yourself in a situation where you could theoretically take it home, score the 3 points, and get the hell out of there and celebrate the new year in style. And then your own shortcomings come out to haunt you, and they eventually cost you a win. Because let's face it, Roma tonight should have come away from this match with 3 points, which, mind you, is not something that we should be taking for granted, because even building up to this match, we said it when we recorded on Friday, hey, they should be winning, but will they win? Who knows? Tonight, they, you know, as we say in Italian, avevano tutte le carte in regola. They had all the right cards, you know, they had the right hand. They could have taken this game. They could have taken it. I still think about that miss from Lorenzo Pellegrini, those final minutes. I think those are some of the worst minutes that Pellegrini has played for Roma, clearly under a lot of pressure. But that right there is the game.
That was the game. And there is a great photo. I know most of the people listening to this, they don't have the stock image subscriptions, but for Getty Images, Andy, where we get all of the photos for the match, there is a photo of Pellegrini with just his hands over his face, akin to the Macaulay Culkin face on Home Alone. And that photo, I think, is the perfect metaphor of Lorenzo Pellegrini, not only this season, but let's be fair, every season post the first year of Jose Mourinho, just frustration, inability to find concreteness, balance. And you want to talk about sort of a moment that really could have been a catalyst to a brand new rebirth, so to speak. New year, time to reignite your time at Roma. That would have been the perfect one. The one that stands out to me, but of course, I'm not going to be too hard on him because of how brilliant it was. This is one of those matches where, again, if it happens to Roma or other, you know, the teams that aren't Juve, Inter, Milan, it sort of goes unnoticed or unappreciated. I call it the Mandzukic effect or the Morata also used to get this quite a bit, not as much now, but when he was at Juve, he didn't have to score, okay? But he would get praised to the hills for these little things that he did. And that is what Dolph Beck had tonight. The flick on the goal of Paulo Dybala, if they could just have it on loop, on my tombstone, when I die, I would perfectly be okay with that. That being like the last thing associated to me when it comes to this club that has dragged us through hell and high water. That flick on was so perfect. And I'm not going to say it makes up for the miss, because that miss early on, that was a nice kick to the groin that grew more painful as the match went on. Because you saw, Andy, this Milan was there for the taking. Yes, they are missing Rafael Leão. They are missing Pulisic. So two of their best attackers unavailable. I don't care, because think about how many times Roma have been missing their best players season after season. And it's not as if anybody gives to you a free pass. So who cares? You have a manager, Paulo Fonseca, who is under fire. I mean, during the match, during halftime of the
match.
He's getting sacked.
He's getting sacked as we are speaking. He's getting sacked. So how ironic is that? Oh, my God. Poor Paolo.
At first, I think to myself, this has to... Hold on, wait a minute. There has to be... This is kind of odd. Because if you were watching on the Italian DAZN, there was zero talk of the match at halftime. Zero. Nobody spoke of it. They were speaking of a managerial change at Milan. And I'm thinking, that's a bit odd. If Milan come away from this with all 3 points, it looks a bit silly. But okay, sure. But man, Andy, you look from minute 1 to 90. I think that not only should Roma have come away with all 3 points, I think they should have won maybe by 2 goals. I think about towards the end, Eldor Ronaldo Shomuradov, who, I mean, this was a guy, Andy, Roma could not give him away to anybody. They could not wrap him up into a box, nice and beautiful, like it just came off of the auto showroom floor. Like, they couldn't do anything to get rid of this guy in the summer. And yet, think about how many times in this season alone he has come on and shown just been more concrete. Mm-hmm. He's been more effective. He's been far more.
He's still going to leave in January, mind you.
Yes,
that's exactly where
I was going with it. Yes.
Yeah, we've been relying as a backup someone who is going to leave in January. Everybody knows it. Everybody is trying to get him out. So that's the thing about this Roma team. That's again what we spoke about on Friday. This mix, this melting pot of ideas. That you go from having guys like Hummels and Paredes from being ostracized to having them play a crucial part in what the team wants to do. And especially in big games, you expect them to be there. You see in the lineup, oh, Hummels and Paredes are playing today. Thank God. You know, and up until a few weeks ago, they were not presentable, according to some. So that also applies to Eldor Shomuradov, who... I would say in 2 weeks he's going to be elsewhere, but tonight at the San Siro, he has to come on at the 86th minute and he has to give you something because Roma were putting the foot on the gas against Milan in their own home.
Yes, they were. They should have won. Now, I've said this many times before. I like to look at the XG because it at least gives you some added context to a match. Somehow, Roma... Their XG was, I believe, almost half a point lower than that of Milan. Milan were at 2, Roma 1.3, 1.4. Again, thank goodness people far more educated and smarter than myself are able to track these things because it doesn't make sense to me when watching. But Andy, if we just look back on this, if you were to pick out the 5 best scoring opportunities of the match, Roma have 3, maybe 4 of them. I didn't even mention that of El Shaarawy, the early one of Dovbik, Pellegrini, Shomuradov. This is something where, on one hand, this season we can't take for granted going to San Siro and getting a point. We are coming off a period in which Roma lost to Como. Roma barely scraping by the likes of Venezia. Barely getting by Torino, very poor teams. So
not a win, not an away win in Serie A since April.
April, yes. So it is not as if we can take something like this for granted because 3 to 5 weeks ago, we are not even considering a Roma that is able to not only earn a draw at San Siro, but a Roma that was hard done and should have come away with 3 points. Was better. I mean, Roma were better tonight, yeah? They were better than Milan. From 0 to 90 minutes.
Yeah. Overall, yes. Roma were the team that was more committed. They were the team that I think put themselves in the position to score more often than Milan. Once again, the woodwork, it's something, you know, it's just, it's a running theme. And then there are those misses. There is that Pellegrini miss again in those final minutes that you just have to. Dybala sets it up. Everything is perfect. Everything seems to be right there for the taking. It's once again, it's if there is something that bothers me more than just the results that Roma were, you know, collected in this first part of the season, it's the fact that listen, we've done good things as well, but we are the ones who very often, you know, sabotage ourselves. Tonight, yeah. Pellegrini, with all the pressure in the world, I don't think that Ranieri should have made that change. Perhaps now it's easy to say that in hindsight, because obviously you are dealing with a player who is very low on confidence. Last game of the year, we've done nothing but talk about his future over the past 2 weeks. There were links with Napoli this morning. There were links with Fiorentina yesterday. So perhaps what he wanted was to give this guy some minutes on a big stage, you know, say, okay, go out there and show them what you can do at the San Siro. Well, Pellegrini instead tonight was completely detrimental to the team. He did basically the opposite of what Dybala was doing. Dybala had a masterclass tonight. And Pellegrini had anything but a masterclass. He is sort of the epitome of this disease that seems to be affecting Roma this season, which is no matter how good they are at times, very often the things that make them lose games, make them drop points, like tonight, where you should be coming away with three, but you are coming away with one, it's of your own making. It's of your own making. And no matter how good it may feel to think that, holy moly, this team that, you know, that went against Como and crapped themselves in the last 10 minutes, look at them now, go out there at the San Siro and play against Milan and doing everything they should be doing to win the match. Well, but did they? Did they? That's the difference between the Roma that wants Champions League qualification and the Roma that is holding itself back from aspiring to those places in the Serie A table. I think this is a fair and an accurate portrayal of this team in the first half of the season. It's you end 2024 more or less doing what you've done for the entire duration of this year. Too many ups and downs, too many mistakes of your own making.
I thought during the match, one of our patrons, Kevin, put it perfectly. He said it's the kind of match, like this scrappy, cagey sort of match where both teams are seemingly playing for the draw despite both actually really, really wanting to win. However, neither are actually good enough to do so. I thought that was a perfect summary of it because both teams played as if they wanted to win, but it was almost a stalemate between mediocrity and idiocy sort of meeting itself on each side in perfect harmony with each other. And neither could the one side's mediocrity or idiocy could outdo the others. And this is what we are left with, a 1-1 draw. Again, I think if we just look back on this, we're going to come back to this match probably in a couple of months and say to ourselves, wow, that Milan was there for the taking. And very rarely do we have a Roma going to Milano and facing a either Inter or Milan where they come away not only the better side, but coming away thinking, oh, goodness, we should have gotten those 3 points. We absolutely, absolutely should have walked away from San Siro with the victory. And that is something, again, with how bad the season has gone, can we really complain of a draw? I don't think so. But on the other hand, the season has been so bad. Just imagine what this would have done, particularly ahead of the derby next weekend. My, that would have been sort of the perfect thing to propel you going into that match where you have a Lazio who, I mean, if you look at their match against Atalanta, they should have come away with a victory. Atalanta draw late. So it would have certainly been an interesting sort of battle of emotions going into obviously one of the biggest matches for both teams of the season. You brought up something though about these you see Paulo Dybala with a world class. Again, you want to talk about sort of the encapsulation of Roma. Andy, compare the Paulo Dybala we saw tonight versus the one against, I don't know, early in the season, just days after he announces he's going to remain. Hot and cold, night and day, completely opposite. The Paulo Dybala of tonight is the one we expect, not every single match, obviously, but certainly we don't expect this level. He was good against Parma last weekend, but we don't think, oh, it's going to take him 3 to 4 months to really get going and be able to carry Roma. And you see that, and the harmony he had tonight with Dovbyk, I thought they were so perfectly in unison, just as they were last weekend against Parma. And I think to myself, wow, if we could have had not even just half of what we saw tonight, if you could have had 30 to 50% of what you had tonight from those two, if you had that from the beginning of the season, I think we are looking at a completely different landscape. Now, obviously, hindsight, as you said, always 2020. But I look at these two tonight, and my goodness, the flick of Dovbyk, the finish with... Name me the last time you saw Paulo Dybala do that with his right foot. With his right foot.
No, Dybala looks revitalized. That's something yes. That must be said, you know? I mean, we were here maybe a week or two ago talking about him as if he was dead. And yes. Tonight he carried Roma. I would say to... And Roma carried him as in... There are times when Roma know what to do with Dybala on the pitch. And on other times where they look helpless, they look without ideas, and they sort of entrust him with everything. Tonight, I thought it was the perfect balance of teamwork and reliance on Paulo Dybala, because he is obviously a star player. He is the guy the focus must be on at all times, but there are ways and ways of going about this. So many times we've seen Roma just give him the ball and sort of fade into the background. Right. And everybody forgets how to play football because Paulo Dybala is going to take care of things. And tonight it wasn't so. Tonight, though individually brilliant, Paulo Dybala was also greatly helped by his teammates.
Yes. Well, I think, too, what we found, and this is something I wonder, I haven't turned on the captions yet for what Ranieri said. I would be curious to know. Given what we've seen from these two over the previous two rounds, is the switch that he did to bring on the extra midfielder. So you take out El Shaarawy, you put in Pizzilli, who are patrons. I mean, you want to talk about catching strays. That guy is about 95 holes in his body due to some of the... decisions he did early in the match. He's still a very young player. I just can't go out there and be overly critical of someone of his age who still is trying to find his place in the team, understand his role. But when you look, because El Shaarawy, again, I don't know what it might have been being back in Milano. Maybe... You know, being back in that area with other things available to him that work better, that he is able to get access to.
Will you stop it? It's almost 2025, John.
No, but
shame on you.
Was he not super? El Shaarawy was superb tonight. Shomurodov was superb. Uh-huh. Everybody who came, I thought the substitutions from Ranieri, for the most part, were done well. Now, the timing, I think we could take.
Yeah, except for Pellegrini.
Pellegrini
is the big black spot in this in tonight's performance. And it's in my opinion, it's worrying. It's worrying that a player of his caliber and a player of his importance to the locker room gives you a performance of this kind on a night like this. I mean, to me, I didn't think much of the rumors. I don't usually pay too much attention, but when you see him deliver this kind of performance at this moment in time, you start to ask yourself some questions, because you really start to wonder, can someone like him turn it around right now? Because you can't say, oh, I'll figure it out at the end of the season. No. The answer must come right now, in the Derby, in the next weeks. It cannot come in June. The answer from Pellegrini must come on the pitch in January already. Otherwise, the rumors stop being rumors. And you know how these things work. Within 2-3 days, you find yourself that Pellegrini is in talks with some other club. I'm not saying that that's the case, but a performance of this sort, when you see how the rest of the team is performing, makes you wonder, you know, what kind of demons is this guy fighting?
That's the perfect way of putting it, because I think, too, if you're him, it has to be, at least to some extent, a bitter or difficult pill to swallow when you say, okay, we're going with the extra midfielder today, removing an attacker. There has to be a part of him that thinks to himself, Pizzini is being preferred over me. I'm having to now, for all intents and purposes, I am not even considered at this point for the starting formation by Claudio Ranieri. And it's a very curious thing with him too, because not only tactically, I don't necessarily know where you are going to put him in this thing, because again, Kone, Paredes, the harmony between those two. Fine, I think I've used that word 3 times here, and I don't think I've used it once the entire season. But wow, finally, we have found at least some balance. Now, defensively, it goes from one captain to the next. Mancini, we're going to have that discussion at some point. Yeah, I think he's somebody you've pegged this, I think, earlier than others, and maybe I've just been blind to it, but some of the mistakes this guy is prone to, it is interesting how often he is caught so far upfield, and you think to yourself, my goodness, man, what are you doing?
Oh, Pellegrini and Mancini, they should be basically be talked about on the same terms. Yes. I mean, Mancini... Yes. Yes. Has been so many times just because what? He waved the flag during a derby just because he looks tough? No. But like, that, honestly.
No, you're right. You're right.
That is what you're I right. mean when I say this environment is sick. And people who don't know how to talk about football in this city because they only pay attention to certain elements. You know, it's they let something slide for certain players, and that's been the oldest story in the book.
Yes.
You know, they
it's
call...
It's the Florenzi syndrome. Just say it, man.
Not even. This is, in my opinion, this is also, I mean, some, you know, you have a ton of players who are called unprofessional. Meanwhile, the whole fan base loves someone like Raja Nainggolan. It's the double standard. In this case, you have Gianluca Mancini, who's having quite a nightmare of a season without Ivan Dika in Miles VR. If you had Robin Olsen in goal, I can guarantee you that Mancini would have been asked to leave the club right yes. here, right now, because of the crucial mistakes that he's made this season. His performances have been just as uneven as Pellegrini's have been. The only difference is that you have more choice in the midfield. Than you have in the defense. So Mancini is more likely to play in the defense, whereas Pellegrini will get benched. But that's something that always bothers me. It's sort of like an inevitable double standard that we seem to concoct every season for certain players. In this case, Pellegrini is the demon, whereas Mancini, who's been just as detrimental to the team, if not more, because he's played on many more occasions than Pellegrini this season, is talked about as if he were a saint, as if he were some higher deity in the realms of Francesco Totti and Daniele De Rossi. No, this is Gianluca Mancini. This is a guy who, even up until a couple of years ago, was a hothead. With Mourinho, he was less of a hothead, or at least more of a contained player. Last season, he was good. He was really good. And I said it. I came out and said it. But this season, let's not hide it. This guy, without Ivan Dika by his side, without Mats Hummels now by his side, without Miles VR at the back, he's been lost this season.
And a few times, too, when you have somebody like Mancini who just constantly is caught out, his positional awareness and discipline is non-existent for all intents and purposes. He really leaves Hummels and Indica at times having to hold the bag when Roma concede. Just because, man, I think in the first 15 to 20 minutes when Milan should have had two, Mancini was the one who is the guilty suspect of leaving Roma imbalanced at the back. And I couldn't agree with you more. He seems to be given a free pass far too often. You spoke as Filar, though, and I hammer this point home every episode, but he's worth, and I will just say it, since Alisson, he has single-handedly handed to Roma the most points on his own. Because here's the thing when it comes to a good versus a bad goalkeeper. Just a mediocre, just a decent goalkeeper will not gain or lose for you any points on their own. A bad one, you mentioned Bobin and Rosen, he'll cost you 9. Alisson, he'll win you 12. Okay. Svilar, man, on his own, I think this season alone, he has to be worth 7 to 8 thus far. I mean, on that opening goal, he's just narrowly almost gets a hand to it. A goal that is, I mean, you know what to score, eh?
Last week against Parma when Parma get that magnificent shot on goal in the far right corner and he gets a hand on that. That's, you know, this is, yes, absolutely. We're talking about this VR as a goalkeeper who has done, in my opinion, I mean, to a worse Roma than that Roma with Alisson, obviously. That Roma was much better, aspiring to better things, but definitely this guy has been on par with Alisson in terms of how important he's been to the team, to the point that we don't even talk about him. You know, like that's how you know when a player is doing well, when you don't talk about it. Because in Rome, every time someone shines momentarily, that's when you talk about him. Or if someone's bad, consistently bad, that's when you talk about him. But if you're consistently good, like Svr, it's all quiet. It's crickets.
Yes.
But me, Svr, make no mistake about it, he's been vital because he gives you that sense of security, that minimal sense of security that you just need to do good. So many times, think of the match against Tottenham, even, you know?
Yes.
When the defenders would make a mistake and he would be there. You know how great that is for a guy like Hummels or Mancini, two guys who have been struggling to regain their form, whatever, to say, oh my God, if I make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. It's not gonna, oh my goodness, you know, this guy's got my back. Like, that's something that we've been talking about for so many years. And it seemed like with Rui Patricio in the first season, we had something of the sort, but not quite. Then we had nothing because Patricio was dreadful. And now we can breathe easily when we see that this guy's position at the club is not being questioned. Like his starting spot is safe. You know, Matthew Ryan, it'll be a miracle if he plays a second game for Roma.
One and done. Like and your
that
boy.
It's like Lebont, you know, the less he plays, the better it is. It means that you've got a good option in goal. The worst moment was when Paulo Lopez was so bad that you had to rely on Mirante. So, and because a team always starts from the back. Roma have been dreadful this season, have been shaky, but not because of Svr. And that's already a big step. That's something that I have to cherish, having seen so many bad goalkeepers.
It's astonishing, though, just when you have so many goalkeepers, as you said, come through this team, and when you finally hit the one where I would have been happy if they were just mediocre, you know, having to watch the corpse of Antonio Mirante concede, what was it, 4 or 5 to Atalanta, where you watch him just alone, 2 to 3 attackers coming onto him because the defense is caught out completely. When you finally have a guy, you know, Bobin Rosen conceding goals on 2 bounces from Genoa, finally to have a guy that can make a difference like this, who, again, I will reiterate, Alisson, was in my lifetime, okay, the best goalkeeper at AS Roma. I'm in my mid-30s. He was without question in that very short time. What was it? 2 years, only one of which really counted?
Well, yeah, the only 16-17, he was second goalkeeper in the Europa League. And he was the first starting goalkeeper for one single season, 17-18.
Yes. He set the gold standard. Which is also funny because do you remember coming into the first season of him starting what he looked like? I believe even James Palotta.
He had acne. He was a bit on the chubby side. You know, the big beard. Sort of. He looked like he had spent a lot of time eating Cheetos and playing FIFA on PlayStation 3.
Yes, and he pulled out a 10 of 10 rating in the season, and then to see what he, you know, coming into the season, what he looked like relative to his actual performances, it's incredible. But Svilar is without question, in my opinion. I mean, again, if you're the same age as me, in my mid-30s, if we go down the power rankings of AS Roma goalkeepers, and power rankings would probably be the incorrect title of it. Svilar has already inserted himself into top 3 to 5, which again, the list isn't very long, or I should say strong, but it's just astonishing at what a good goalkeeper, okay? Most big clubs, they expect to have a good goalkeeper. Well, all big clubs except AS Roma, and it's just crazy how long it takes Roma to find one that is effective. But finally, this is a guy, I mean, you just have to hold on to him. Keep hold of him. Whatever you have to do, I mean, this guy alone, this season, you think the season has been bad, Andy? If that was not him, okay, in between the golf posts, if we just go back to one season, if you get Rui Patricio, the Rui Patricio that we saw after season one, who was a
shell. No, you're done. You're done. You're bottom of the barrel.
Yes,
you're done, also you are hopeless because, mind you, John, as bad as we've been. There is hope. There is hope on the horizon. There is, you know, we're not looking at this team and thinking to ourselves, okay, there we go. We go straight to Serie B. No, that we know that they've got more in the tank. We know that there is something they can give. And I think Miles VR is one of the players that make you believe that this team at some point can get a grip on things because Miles VR has had a hand on a pulse all season long.
Yes.
There have been maybe a few mistakes he's made. Maybe I can count them on one hand. Like that's, you know, in a season riddled with mistakes, Miles VR is not guilty of any costly mistakes that have contributed to the position that you're in right now. What Miles VR has done is give you sort of the reassurance that, hey, you know, we're not that bad. It's not, we've made our fair share of errors, but this team is not that bad. There's hope.
I couldn't agree more, and that's a great way to end it. Hope. What is your hope for this derby next week? And we'll preview it more as we get later into the week.
No, but listen, I mean, regardless of what we preview or don't preview, the thought remains the same with it's now or in a few days. Lazio are far better than Roma. They're far much more of a team. Yes. They've done wonders with what everybody thought was going to be, you know, a pathetic squad of players and a coach who was not ready for the big time. And Baroni has been wonderful despite him coming into a really difficult environment. I mean, let's remember, after Tudor walked away, the whole fan base was against Lotito. The whole fan base was against Lazio. Everybody questioned, why the hell this Hellas Verona coach is coming to Lazio when they had Maurizio Sarri just sitting there as their coach just a few months before? Why? And Baroni didn't say anything, just kept on working, and these guys are always rolling. No matter who's available, they play as a team. That's what it will come down to. This time, I really think it's not even about who wants the derby more, because that's usually the question. Who wants it more? Who wants to win? But this time is, who's more of a team? Who's going to be able to remain united at this moment in time? So many times the derbies have been resolved by one or two single episodes. You know, you'd have a brilliant individual goal. You know, something out of somebody's backside would make the difference. But this time, I really do think it will come down to who is the more organized side. Who can make it work in the as a team? Not individuals, as a team. Lazio, so far this season, they've been a far better team than Roma. But again, it's 2025 is just around the corner. Perhaps Roma can take this result against Milan, reflect on it, and think to themselves, huh, well, if we're capable of putting the pressure on at the San Siro, maybe let's improve and get 3 points in the derby. That would be one way of starting the new year.
Absolutely. We will keep our fingers crossed, obviously. And since you mentioned Barone, I have the line, I believe it was Boban on Sky Sport some years ago. He said he called him Billy Bob Thornton, and I can't get that out of my head because they do look exactly alike. And I can't, every time I see him now,
it's true with the goatee. Mm-hmm.
I can see resemblance. So we will see. We will see what Roma do in the derby. We still have the good news is no midweek fixture, right? It's not a European week, correct?
No, thank God. No, come on. Let's full just week. Enjoy full, the New Year listen, celebrations.
Full week, yes. Yeah, so continue with the same starting formation. Relax. Go out with the same thing. As long as they play similar to this, whatever happens. You have to take your chances.
You have to take the result against Parma. You have to take this result. Yes. And you have to build on it. You know, we have to start approaching these games seriously. We have to create something that is sustainable in the long term. We can't just go from one result to the next one not knowing what the hell we're going to do in a few days. We must go into this derby thinking, okay, we've played the hell out of that match against Parma. We had a week to recover for Milan. Now we have a week to recover for the derby. Why not aim for 3 points? Why is that so hard to imagine? It's a new year, new hopes, new resolution, all that shebang.
Yes. All right. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.
Ciao.